Hi, and welcome to episode 32 of the Trending Tech Podcast. And this time we're looking at a few issues ranging from connected healthcare through ESG, that's the increasingly important environmental, social, and corporate governance, and finally including IoT's road ahead. So thank you for joining us for today's sometimes serious, sometimes lighthearted look at digital transformation for enterprises. A warm welcome to you wherever we find you today. I'm Jeremy Cowan, co-founder of the telecoms and technology sites IoT-now.com, VanillaPlus.com, and the EE.AI, which covers artificial intelligence for the evolving enterprise. And a warm welcome too to our two guests today who are experts in these areas. The first guest is Jash Bansidhar, EU General Manager for Advantech, who are our sponsors today. I'll be talking to Jash later about technology milestones, what we can expect in the year ahead, plus the impact on technology of ESG. Jash, welcome.
Thank you, Jeremy. Nice to be here.
Great to have you. And our second guest is Michael Vernet, who is Advantech's Senior Sales Manager. In a minute, he and I will be chatting on IoT-enabled connected healthcare. Michael, welcome, and particularly as you stepped in at short notice, I'm grateful.
Pleasure to be here, Jeremy.
Thank you to Advantech, who are our sponsors, as I say. And while I think of it, congratulations to them for a major anniversary, I hear, because the company was founded 40 years ago. That's a heck of a milestone for you guys. Now, before we go any further, we always like to check the horizon in technology with our guests. So let's take a quick look at two serious tech news stories you found. And later on, we're going to have a bit of a look for an escape in our closing section called What the Tech, where we'll discuss a couple of tech news stories that either amused or amazed us. Okay, Jash, coming to you first, what serious tech news have you come across?
Well, I was talking a few weeks ago with my kids about their thesis that they're preparing, and one of them came with ChatGPT, and I was astonished that this tool is available and giving also some headache to universities to make sure that these tools are used or not abused, let's say that. So I'd like to talk about that a little bit more later on.
Yeah, can you explain what ChatGPT actually does briefly?
Yeah, basically, it takes over the job of a writer, of a journalist, a technical writer. We in Advantech has a lot of technical information to share to the audience, and ChatGPT could help us to reduce the workload and at least to make a basis to communicate to the market. And students can do that too, right? I mean, they can use that to write their thesis about some specific topics. And the system automatically generates the text quite on a high level so that it is very difficult for normally to understand if this is written by human being or by a chatbot in this case.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely come to that later. And I think there's another story that has been catching your eye, particularly you saw something on Microsoft and Viasat. What was that?
Yeah, it was incredible to read the news that they are releasing internet connectivity to areas who don't have the infrastructure yet through satellite and existing hardware infrastructures, older ones. And for me, that was a trigger that these two giants are helping the community, the new generation, to inform them, to educate them, to prepare them for a better life. And for me, that gives a sign to make the world more transparent so that all the major challenges that we have with misinformation, miscommunication, and manipulation of information towards community and citizens can be reduced by this initiative. So for me, this is a very appealing example how these global giants are contributing.
Yeah, this was an announcement from both Microsoft and Viasat, and both of them, their news was picked up by a lot of news sites. So we'll put links on this into the transcript that people can follow up if they want to. But you're right, it's such an incredible step forward if and when it's successful, and there's no reason to believe it won't be. It seems to be a new collaboration through Microsoft Airband Initiative to increase internet access for about 5 million people. Is that right?
Yeah, 5 plus 5.
Yeah.
First 5 are from Africa areas, and another amount similar will be more towards mid-America, South America.
I think that comes around 2025. Mm-hmm. And from what I hear, this is just part of the plan. By expanding airband in Africa and Latin America, Viasat and Microsoft expect to connect a total of, I think they said, 40 million new internet users globally. And they're going to do that by using available technologies already. So fiber optics, fixed wireless access, TV white spaces, even citizens band radio, you know, an inspired use of available capacity coming to a variety of countries like DR Congo and Nigeria, Angola, that really don't have the kind of internet access that we just take for granted in more developed economies.
Indeed. I think it's a big step ahead to open up also the market for those countries. And hopefully it can be price effective so that there will not be a big barrier for citizens to connect to this. I think there's still a lot of work to do there, but the announcement is opening up great ideas, great initiatives also to develop those territories.
Because it's not just the communications that is lacking in some of these areas, but, you know, reliable power supplies aren't available. So I think quite a lot of work is going into ensuring that sustainable energy supplies are being put into these areas. And I think last mile connection is talked about being delivered through local internet service providers. So there's so many moving parts in this. It's a positive story, but it's going to be extremely difficult to put all of this together.
Indeed, Jeremy. I think we don't realize the benefits in the Western European society that we have with this transparency and connectivity, just every day part of our life. Many rural areas don't have this luxury.
Yeah.
And this initiative will accelerate the digital transformation of the world and helping citizen to develop, study, educate themselves, and economies to grow. So this transparency, creating this communication shield with information and communication technology visible today, that is a great example for me.
It really is. And we don't always get to trumpet the most positive stories. There are some things that, you know, we have to report that aren't always quite so encouraging. So I don't want to go too misty-eyed about it, but because this is a commercial decision after all, but kudos, I think, to the partners for the hard work they're putting in. As I say, we'll post the links to today's stories in the transcript. Michael, what serious news caught your eye?
I found this article where that talks about robotic surgery helped to save the life of a Scottish woman after she received a bowel cancer diagnosis. And the robot is called Da Vinci Robotic System. And to me, this sounds very futuristic. But I was positively surprised to read that more than 60 doctors across NHS Scotland alone are trained for the use of this robotic surgery machine, with 15 machines in operation today. And I think I choose this story because I think it's just a great example that demonstrates how innovation and technology in the healthcare domain can really make a difference for the patients today already. And robotic surgery has already shown huge improvements in patient care, but also in recovery times. I was surprised to read about that, how beneficial the recovery time is after robotic surgery in comparison with the more traditional surgery. And that's just a very Of course, positive story with a positive end. And I really hope and I truly believe that many patients will still benefit from such equipment in the future.
Yeah, this is just the kind of good news story that we do enjoy reporting as well from the Internet of Things. I was intrigued to see that it was the woman herself who elected to have the surgery carried out by a robot, obviously directed by a surgeon. Yeah. And she seems to have done it for very good reasons. As you say, the robotic system's four arms can hold a camera and various surgical instruments, and it gives greater range of movements than any human surgeon can manage, which in itself is pretty astonishing.
It is.
And instead of standing over the patient, the surgeon is managing the operation from a console.
It sounds futuristic, but it has happened and with great results.
It is amazing. And following the procedure and then chemotherapy, I read that the patient is now in remission from her cancer. So, it's an astonishing piece of work.
It is.
Gentlemen, thank you both for those stories. We've talked about other people's work. I'd like to hear a bit more about yours. Jash, coming to you, the tech sector changes every 40 days, never mind over the last 40 years since Avantech was founded. So I looked up what was happening in the tech sector 40 years ago, back in 1983, and it was quite instructive. It was the year that the ARPANET changed to use internet protocol. So I think very few people knew it at the time, but it was effectively the year the internet was born. And the Apple Lisa, the first commercial personal computer from Apple to have a graphical user interface and a mouse, that was launched in January 1983 as well. So what was Avantech's initial offering?
Yeah, well, Jeremy, it's a long time ago. To hear these examples that you mentioned, it reminded me that with our offering that time, I started to automate the testing processes with our automatic test systems. That was the first solution that three engineers created after they started up their own company from a small area in the kitchen. And they started to build these automatic test systems to check the quality and the functionality of electronic products which were produced by them. And some of the product already had an Ethernet connection. Even that was very unique in the industry because industry was first against Ethernet. Later on, 2 years later, Advantech team decided to build also data acquisition cards, which is transforming physical information to electronic data. That was a quite step ahead. If you are able to combine this in the automatic test system, suddenly you can deliver to factories a solution where manual work can be automated for a part. And that idea, by creating a system, led the three founders to think about industrial computing, because there were not too much industry-related systems who offered longevity, suitable for harsh environments, because in the industry, you need systems who are form, fit, functionality for the next 5 to 10 years, while standard computing were not normal those years, could not withstand this harsh environment. So the three founders thought, okay, this is an opportunity for us to introduce the industrial computer. And that was in 1990, so 7 years after the company was founded. And today, you know, Jeremy, we have a market share of industrial computers of 41%. So definitely we are far ahead as a leader in this technology. And nice to mention that two founders are still active in the Advantech company. One is our CEO, Casey Liu, and one is in the board of directors, Cheney Ho. So they are still there after 40 years to drive, to strategize on the business.
Excellent.
Another milestone I want to mention from an Advantech company in Taiwan, which is an island, the market quickly was saturated. They decided in 1987, to globalize. Means the first office was opened in the US and a year later in China. And here in Europe, we opened our first Advantech office in Germany in 1993. So Europe, we are 30 years present, while globally, we are 40 years active in the market. Mm.
So around that, the Internet of Things has been evolving really fast. How have you been preparing for that change?
Well, important is to understand that the fundament of the Advantech organization is based on the history, the identity of our history. And our history said it is computing, it's information communication technology, and it is helping to digitalize the work, to optimize processes and so on. And the Internet of Things mindset happened in 2010 when our company decided to change our mission statement to enabling an intelligent planet. 2010 doesn't seem feel far away. It's only 12, 13 years from now. But by that time, the terminology of Internet of Things was not so common. Yeah, only some people in this domain talked about this. Internet was already there, more for commercial applications, but definitely not for the industry or smart cities as it is today. So when our CEO posted the vision of enabling an intelligent planet, and Advantech is contributing to this vision with his information and communication technology, that was a very motivating moment for the whole company, because suddenly we were able to see the scope and the offering of our technology to make the world a better place. Mm. And from there, with the intelligent planet, we started to evolve and grow in our market capitalization, because this vision caused also the innovation more in IoT technologies, including the software, the platform as a service software. In Advantech, it is called Wise Pass, which was launched in 2016. And with this hardware portfolio and this middleware of Wise IoT software, Advantech was able to supply to the industry and to system integrators in the smart city, let's say, as a one-stop shop, all the needs to digitalize their application. And that is where we are today. And I can talk more about this in detail later on, Jeremy.
Michael, turning to you, looking at one specific area of this intelligent planet that Jash was referencing, we see, and we've already mentioned, connected healthcare. But to the public, they probably think of this mostly as a smartphone app. I imagine the healthcare benefit is far greater in creating smart hospitals and connected medical equipment. How big is this market in your view?
For us, it's massive. And with connected healthcare, we mean the complete IT infrastructure in hospitals and care institutions. And it can be anything from a patient monitor to an intelligent ward system. And we believe it can improve the full patient experience by providing an interactive infrastructure within the hospital. And I personally believe that connected healthcare will decrease the time a patient stays in hospital, and it will make nursing more efficient, resulting in decreasing pressure and cost for our healthcare institutes, which is a big topic right now. And so I really believe it will be a win-win for both the patient as also the healthcare system. And to get back to your question, I believe that the global opportunity is to shift healthcare from a healing to a preventing approach in any aspect. And this means moving from nursing to preventive monitoring and screening of patients, for example, through driving a healthier lifestyle.
That makes perfect sense. So how can the IoT sector integrate so many different devices that may be affecting healthcare and preventive medicine? How do they bring all of these different devices from competing vendors into an environment where the hospital can make them function?
As Jash very well explained, Advantech traditionally started as a hardware manufacturer. And although technology focus and services are expanding, we realize we cannot provide all the essentials by ourselves. So Advantech believes in what we call the co-creation model. We partner up and we build collaborations with other domain players to provide integrated solutions in the medical field for the patients. And we do that in other fields of other domains as well. But by doing this, we combine the best of both the IoT and the healthcare technology domain. And furthermore, in a connected world, we believe in open protocols and an open source platforms. So hospitals or healthcare OEMs will be able to integrate multiple vendors or multiple solutions into their environment.
What are the biggest recent advances through that kind of approach that you've seen in connected healthcare? Is it in things like patient care management or drug administration? Is it staff optimization? I don't know, something else entirely.
Yeah. But I think the examples you give make very well sense. And the healthcare industry predicts its biggest deficit in human resources. And with that, I simply mean a lack of nursing staff or surgeons. And our equipment is mainly designed and built to lower the pressure and increase the speed of handling of the patients with a lower error rate through automation. That means automated handling, dispensing, and administration. This simply means that fewer hospital staff will be able to handle an increased number of patients in a better way.
That's an astonishing prospect for the future if we can be doing far more with less. I know that in this country, in the UK, I'm speaking to you from, it's a constant concern that we put more and more money into healthcare and seem to get less and less quality from it. We already heard about robotic surgery, and I think anybody who's watched our pages on IoT Now would have seen promising stories about things like IoT-enabled surgery in India and drone delivery of medicines in Uganda. Should we be focusing more on IoT's impact in more conventional areas of healthcare to benefit a larger number of people?
From my point of view, both our options are on the table. And we should focus on both conventional and also the remote healthcare applications. I think both can benefit from technology. And on one hand, in the conventional healthcare environments, such as the recovery area, we see that simple patient monitoring system, respiratory and vital sign measurements can make a huge impact on the patient experience. Patients will significantly benefit from real-time monitoring, enabling the healthcare system to go from reactive to proactive care, which drastically reduces the response time to a patient that is in need of care. And in addition, we also see a change in common diseases, moving from, for example, cancer to cardiovascular diseases or brain neural network diseases, meaning there is an increased need for longer patient care treatments, where our integrated and connected solutions can relieve the healthcare system by enabling remote surgery or monitoring again.
Josh, turning back to you, if I may, looking at the bigger picture of care for our community and our environment, no company these days can afford to ignore its environmental, social, and corporate governance responsibilities. Can you tell us about your experience of ESG activities and what you're doing?
Yeah. First, I want to underline that ESG is a company strategy to grow, to contribute to sustainable and a good basis for the people of Advantech and the community. So ESG is not new for Advantech. It is now only covered under the three major pillars of ESG according to the new legislations. But corporate social responsibility was always a strategy of Advantech. But to formalize things more and to prepare for the next professionalization of our company, we said, let's take the ESG strategy to build three major strategic improvements, which is the first one, to enrich the community, because we have a lot of talents. We have a lot of knowledge that we want to share to the people around us and to enable an intelligent, but also a sustainable planet, and also work with innovators, with the young generation, like universities, like internship programs all over the globe, to popularize our Internet of Things solutions. And last but not least, the third pillar is we need to make sure that our operations is a green operation. Of course, things like carbon dioxide reduction, energy management, which is very relevant nowadays, we know. We decided to invest and speed up the implementation to reduce our carbon footprint, not only in the production, but also how we produce our products and how we ship our products. So these initiatives has been built in a project which is governed by ESG organization within the Advantech board, who is aiming for the next 10 years to at least be represented in 2025 on the Dow Jones Sustainability Index, because this index will also confirm the commitment that Advantech has established in the strategy, and also towards the 2030-2040, we want to move almost all our, let's say, production based on renewable energies and reduce drastically our carbon footprint. And that will also make Advantech as a green operation.
Josh, Michael's already referenced the eco-creation model, and I take on board what you've just said about, you know, improving your footprint. These days, so much of what is achieved in IoT and in enterprise digital transformations isn't achieved by one company, it's achieved by partner ecosystems. How do you go about managing partnerships and client relationships that are with huge organizations where, you know, you have to align your policies?
Yeah. So first I want to underline, when we started 40 years ago and we started to expand our business overseas, we installed partners. So with partnerships, with reseller partners, with distribution partners, we got the experience that collaboration is creating acceleration and an innovation base to grow the business. So clearly, partnerships is part of our DNA. And this DNA we have used when we implemented the new business model. We call it co-creation business model. We launched this business model around 7 years ago. When Advantech had the portfolio of hardware and we created middleware, we realized that with the technology alone, we will not be able to show end users the benefit of Internet of Things. In our case, it is industrial Internet of Things, because we focus in the industry and smart cities. And to make the step to solutions, we decided to launch the co-creation strategy, where we work with system integrators and we co-develop and we co-sell ready-to-use industrial IoT applications for specific verticals. You can imagine that the medical domain has different competence than factory domains or domains in a railway or energy generation. So these specialized system integrators, we had those already in our customer base buying hardware, but now we started to team up with them, with partner with them to co-create applications with their domain competence in our technology and middleware, so that the end user could quickly deploy an IoT applications to understand if this justifies the return of investment and confirm that this proof of value can bring the benefits that they are looking for. So that is the stage that we are in now today in Advantech, where we have developed co-creation system integrators across the countries, because the business is still very local in Europe. And with this footprint, we were able to be quite close to the end user to help them transform their operations to more digital business driven.
Josh, we talked about the past a bit. We've talked a lot about the present. I'm going to ask you to dig out your crystal ball now. What are your expectations for IoT in the road ahead in the short and medium term?
First, Advantech realized that the strategy itself will not sustain if you don't have a budget to help system integrators to make this transformation together with us, because we've seen that many system integrators are quite traditional. They are from the operation technology, or they are still from the information technology. So the OT-IT world is still quite separately, unless we as Advantech, who is one of the leading IoT drivers in the industry, can bring this together with our edge, hard and software and information and communication technology platforms. And to enable that, Advantech launched an ecosystem fund. That is an amount of money, around 50 million USD, that is being invested in Europe and the US to establish co-creation strategic partnerships. That is one important step that we have implemented and working on for the next 5 to 10 years. The second one is, we believe that the way we are organized today need to prepare for the next wave of growth. Advantech has been growing in the past decade quite strong with double digit, except during the pandemic. But then when that ended up 2 years ago, 1.5 years ago, we rebound very fast, realizing more than 2 billion USD on revenue streams. But to grab the next wave of growth with this solution-oriented business model, this co-creation, we need to strengthen our local organizations. Means in Europe, we need to build a stronger technical integration, education support infrastructure, more professional back offices, services as the first step. And the second is, we need to specialize as an organization much more in the domain that we've been working on, with creating sector-specific go-to-market teams, so that we understand much better the challenges that our customers are facing, and bring this back to our R&D and ecosystem partners, so that we can establish the fit for purpose solution on an effective way out of the box. And this will help Advantech to accelerate, I hope, for the next 40 years of our existence.
Well, I think that's going to be instructive for quite a number of companies to listen to. Okay, gents, let's unwind for a moment and see what the tech has amazed or amused us lately. Jash, you go first. What have you seen? You talked earlier about your interest in ChatGPT. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, well, reading that, I was thinking how ChatGPT can help our company to accelerate digital transformation of our own business model, because we are talking about helping end users, but we have within Advantech also an established business model that need to be digitalized. And I think in the past few years during the pandemic, like many other companies, we realized that the digital transformation need to speed up seriously, because if we want to stay competitive and we want to keep serving our customer with state-of-the-art services, our operational excellence need to come to a higher level. So we implemented several IT tools to help us to optimize our operations, and that is a process that will continue in the next decade for sure. So ChatGPT and similar apps will help Advantech to become more professional. We also need to realize that these kind of AI-related applications that we see every day in medical, in industry, in smart cities, it's like becoming a standard that without AI, you are not anymore able to give scenarios for decision-making or optimize your operations. It's becoming like second nature for people. And we need to be careful that AI will not take over the common sense that we still have as human beings, which is not an Advantech topic alone. It's a global issue that we need to address. But I think as Advantech, as a provider of this technology, we need to be sensitive of how far we are able to manage and secure the usage of this kind of innovation. So AI, ChatGPT specifically, will also help Advantech to make the right decisions for their business innovation.
Yeah. Michael, has anything in the news amazed or amused you?
Well, I was reading this list of predictions on Twitter from a guy named Paul Ferry.
Oh yeah.
And this is a list of predictions that were made in 1923, and it's a little bit of a light topic about the year 2023, so 100 years ago. Some of these predictions were pretty accurate. I mean, for example, the life expectancy or the population of the U.S. I'm sure that you and many of the listeners would like it to be like that. One of the predictions was that the workday would only take 4 hours by now, so no more hard work by 2023. And I think that that there's not a lot of listeners out there that can relate to that these days. I think that was quite funny to read.
Well, if the workday memo was sent around saying maximum 4 hours per day, it sure didn't reach me yet.
No, and it didn't reach me, and I can talk to Josh later on if we can make that work, but I'm pretty sure we cannot yet.
And I keep hearing that things like ChatGPT can write articles for us, so as an editor and journalist, I've got to say I'm toast.
Yeah.
I think Jeremy, this tool will help us to spend more time to create a higher course for our lives, you know.
Yep.
And there's a positive thing behind it. Yeah.
I'll definitely be able to fill my day, but it won't necessarily be what I'm doing now. And Michael, your life expectancy, was that one of the predictions that I think they were talking about 100 years?
Yeah, there was one article that talked about 100 years, but also one about 300 years. And yeah, I've watched a documentary the other day that really talks about the younger people right now. That generation may never die, yeah, because healthcare becomes so good that people will actually be able to regenerate. So it is quite an interesting topic, but there's many different thoughts about that.
Well, my wife's already heard all my stories, so the thought of me sticking around for 300 years is probably filling her with gloom. But 300 years is quite a lifespan for any of us, and certainly my pension won't stretch that far. Michael, fantastic story. And of course, if you, our listeners, have seen something in the tech news that you'd like to share, then please email me via our website or message me on LinkedIn at Jeremy Cowan. That's C-O-W-A-N. Okay, before we go, let me say a big thank you. First to Josh Bansidar. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks, Jeremy. It was a pleasure.
It's been great. And how can listeners find you to discuss this further?
I'm on LinkedIn. People can connect and I will reach out to them.
That'd be great. And our thanks also to Michael Vernet. It's been great to have you with us, Michael.
Likewise. It was my pleasure to be here, and look forward to meeting with you and the listeners in the future through LinkedIn as well.
So our thanks to all of you, and don't forget you can subscribe to the Trending Tech podcast wherever you found us today. So it's a high five to our growing audience around the world. There's now 6,500 of you worldwide. And meanwhile, keep checking iot-now.com, vanillaplus.com, and the ee.ai, where you're going to find tech news, plus videos, top-level interviews, event reviews, and loads more. And join us again soon for another Trending Tech podcast looking at enterprise digital transformations. Bye for now.